Turn with me to Hebrews 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. And last time we met, and last time I preached, we talked about a man who battled to control his anger. And from time to time, his anger absolutely controlled him. And it set his life on a course of action that sometimes he could not control. And this man who had anger, he had some definite consequences for his anger. And obviously we're talking about the man Moses. And he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. But I don't want to leave our picture of Moses at that, as an angry old man, right? Because that's not where the New Testament leaves our picture of Moses. In this passage, Hebrews 11, Moses is characterized as a man of faith and not as a man of anger. So tonight, we're going to study some New Testament verses and see a message entitled Moses, All Grown Up. And this is about the time where he was deciding which direction in his life he should go. He was a relatively young man. He lived to be about 120 years old, and at this time of his life, he was about 40. So in his lifespan, relatively young, and he made some very mature decisions in the face of some very hard circumstances, some very hard but mature decisions. So before we look at Hebrews 11, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you, I do pray that you would give us a quietness of spirit, that you would help us to be focused on what you have before us from your word, that we would not be distracted by those around us, that we would not be distracting those around us, but that your word would do a work in our heart. I pray that you would fill me, give me the words to say, that I would not get in the way of your all-powerful word. I pray that it would be applied to hearts tonight and that you'd be glorified. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Walter Knight, he told a story of a Scottish woman, and she was kind of like a door-to-door saleswoman. What she did was she got a bunch of small things, and she traveled around the countryside, and she sold like buttons, she made clothes and sold some clothes, and as she was traveling around the countryside, she walked everywhere she went. But the story is told of her as she was walking through the pathways of the area where she lived, the village where she lived, to decide which way to go. If she came to a crossroads, she would take a stick and throw it up in the air. And wherever it landed, and wherever that stick pointed, she'd go that direction. But there was a man once who followed her around, and as she came to one crossroad in those paths, she took the stick, she threw it up in the air, hit the ground, it pointed left. So she picked the stick up, threw it up in the air, hit the ground, pointed left again. So she did this a number of times, and the man said, "Why do you keep throwing that stick up in the air?" She said, "Well, it keeps pointing left, but I want to go right, so I'm going to throw it until I can go the way that I want to go." And obviously, this is not a great way to go about finding directions in the real world, but have you ever felt like this in your spiritual life? That you're trying to decide, what are going to be my next steps? God, what would you have me do? And you feel like you're just throwing a stick in the air. And you're saying, well, let me just flip a coin. And that works in the NFL, but it doesn't really work in real life. You might say, okay, well, let me Google it. What do I do next, right? That's what we all do. Every time we have a question, we go to Google. Obviously, not a great place to get spiritual advice. And Moses was at this point in his life. He was at a crossroads. He had a decision in front of him, which direction am I going to go in my life? And obviously, he did not use some of those tactics to find out. He was trying to figure out if he would follow the so-called comforts of life through Egypt, or if he would follow the trials of being one of God's people, of being associated with God's people. He was trying to decide who he was going to pursue, God or comfort. And some of you, you're at that same exact crossroads. You're trying to decide, which way do I go? Do I want to give in to the world and get the comforts that are available here and now? Or do I want to look forward to the future and follow God? And what are some of the questions that you might be asking right now? Should I surrender to the ministry or whatever it is? Or should I pursue my love of soccer, of basketball, of books, of science? Do I want to be a doctor? What do I pursue? And you might be asking this question, what am I going to do with my life? What is God's will for my life? All of these smaller decisions will fall under a larger one. Do I follow God or do I pursue the world? And this is the same exact crossroads where Moses is. And if you have your handout, you notice that the main theme for tonight is in order to make right decisions about the direction of your life, you must focus on the eternal reward. So in order to make the right decisions about right now, what's my next step in following God, you must look forward to that eternal reward. And that's exactly what's talked about in Hebrews chapter 11 with the life of Moses. So first of all, what is that eternal reward that we're supposed to be looking towards? 1 Peter 1 tells us that through Christ, we are born to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. It's kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's going to be revealed in the last time. So these are things that we have to look forward to. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So the Bible doesn't sugarcoat things. Hey, things are going to be hard. You're going to have lots of temptations. But what is going to be your overall direction in life? You have this reward that is promised to you. What is more important to you, the world or this reward? So we're going to consider some of the difficult choices that mature followers of Jesus Christ make. They're not obvious ones. They're not easy ones. They're going to be hard decisions. But they're decisions that Moses made and that you can make as well. Let's read verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he was all grown up, says the ESV, in Acts 7:23 it tells us that he's 40 years old at this time, relatively young compared to 120. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In this verse, we see the first difficult decision. It's on your handout as well. It says, mature followers of Christ choose the path of compassion rather than position. So Moses chose people over a position. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. So that made him Pharaoh's adopted grandson. And Stephen said in Acts 7:22 that Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and in his deeds. So Moses was actually in a position where he could have succeeded the throne of Egypt. He was in line for the throne of Egypt. He had the opportunity to be a very, very powerful man. It's happened in the past. Joseph was second in command in Egypt. It's not that it can't happen. An Israelite could have ruled Egypt. But he identified himself with the Israelites. He did not want to be known as an Egyptian. Moses had reached that point of decision. He was mature. He was old enough. He had to decide, where am I going to go? And guys, you are all reaching that point where you are not going to be under your parents' authority for very much longer. You are approaching this crossroads of your life. And when you go to college, which direction are you going to go? When you get your first job, if you don't go to college, which direction are you going to go? Where are you going to what are you going to pursue? God or the world? So we see that Moses avoided that powerful position. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that decision affected the rest of his life. It affected the direction that he was going to go. So what direction is your life headed? Are you more concerned about a powerful position and fame and reputation that you can have rather than serving God? Moses avoided that powerful position, and a position should not be a motive for why you do what you do, but it could be a result. Obviously, a position is not always a bad thing. So like we said, a big question that a lot of you are probably in the middle of asking, or you will ask very soon, what is God's will for my life? And even if you haven't thought about it in the spiritual way, you might be saying, what am I going to do with my life? And I hope that you are not making that decision based on what power, what position, what prestige, what reputation, and how famous you can become. You can pursue those things, but they'll come up empty. And we'll talk about that later. So when class elections roll around each year, is your only concern getting the most votes so that you can satisfy your own need for people to like you, that you're popular, that people will think that you are cool, that you are the coolest guy in the school? For some of you that are homeschooled, that's pretty easy, okay? But don't chase that feeling for your future. You ought to be asking this question. What has God gifted me for? What does God want for my future? Instead of, what do I want to do with my life? And that's the way that a lot of us approach it. And God uses some of those things. But it's not about what we want to do. And Moses, instead of going after position, the reason that he avoided that powerful position is not because positions are wrong. It's because he valued something else much more than that position. Moses adopted a compassion for people. He adopted a compassion for people. That's letter B in your notes. He put people over position. And it doesn't directly say that in this verse, but a cross-reference in Exodus 2:11 says, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown," so it's the same time of his life, "that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens." He knew that the Egyptians were doing evil to the people of Israel. He knew that they were wronging them, they'd enslaved them, they were mistreating the people of Israel. And he had compassion upon them. He looked on the Israelite burdens, and he wanted to do something about it. Senator John McCain, he just ran for president a couple years ago, but he tells a story when he was a POW during the Vietnam War. And when he was a prisoner of war in the camp, they used to take them and they used to tie them up into a position and tie it so tight to make it at the most uncomfortable position they could come up with during the night. But one time during the night, one of the guards came in, and before the lights went out, he came to John McCain and he loosened his ropes so he'd be in a much more comfortable position. So as the night goes on, McCain gets lots of sleep, and the next morning this guard is leaving. He's going home, his shift is over, and he comes back in and he tightens it up so that nobody knows that his ropes were loosened. So a couple days later, it's Christmas Day, so McCain gets a big present. He gets 10 minutes outside, right? So they let him go outside for 10 minutes. So this guard comes up to him, he smiles at him, and in the dirt, he takes his foot and he makes a cross. And he smiles and he says, "Jesus." And then he rubs it out with his foot. The love of Jesus even penetrated a horrible prison camp. And this man saw the needs of McCain and the other prisoners, and he had compassion upon these men. And he wanted to show the love of Christ. Why should you choose this direction in life? Why should I show compassion to people? Why should I place people over my own reputation, over my own position? First of all, it's because Jesus did it. In Philippians 2:4, it says that a mature believer will look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You need to be more concerned with the needs of others than you are with your own needs. And for so many of us, that rarely happens. But that's the mind of Christ that we are told to have in Philippians chapter 2. So why should you do this? For one, Jesus did it. And two, look forward to that reward. And Moses is going to specifically think of that in a few verses, but you must focus on the eternal rewards like Moses did. Let's read verse 25. "Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." So he made another very distinct decision here. Mature followers of Christ choose the path of righteousness rather than temporary pleasure. They choose righteousness rather than temporary pleasure. You're like, whoa, that's a big word, righteousness, right? Pretty simple meaning here. Moses wanted to do what was right. He wanted to obey God, he wanted to show compassion, and he wanted to do what God was calling him to do. But that does not come without trials, right? It says that he had to suffer the affliction with the people of God. And guys, righteous living will result in adversity. It's not going to be easy. People will be against you. Egypt here is a picture of the world. And Egypt did not want to lose its free slave labor. It wanted to keep the Israelites there to do all the work for them. And they just wanted to use the Israelites for their own gain. They were mistreating the people of Israel. And it seems clear here that God made it clear to Moses. Somehow he communicated to him, you are supposed to identify with the people of Israel rather than the people of Egypt. And the direction of his life was to be one that was connected to God and his people. He had to choose, do I seek to enjoy what's offered to me here right and now in Egypt, or do I seek to go with the people of God and I'm going to have trials, I'm going to have afflictions, I'm going to have hard times? He had to choose to obey God. When God is leading, it's going to result in opposition in your life. When you follow God's leading. John 15:18, Jesus is speaking. He says this, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Again, Jesus does not sugarcoat anything. He says, when you're associated with me, the world hates me and it's going to show persecution. It's going to afflict you. It's going to give you trials. The world system is completely against God's system. The world will send adversity to any true follower of Jesus Christ. The world's in rebellion against God. There's nothing else that they know how to do. They will rebel against the philosophy of Jesus. So when you stand up for what the Bible says, you will face opposition. Moses didn't go into this blind, and you can't go into this decision blind either. You will face opposition. But for some reason, Moses thought, this is better than what Egypt has to offer. Just like Egypt sought to use the Israelites, guys, the world wants to use you. The world wants to use you for its own gain. If someone is looking for pleasure just for themselves, that's the only thing they're seeking after, and they're done using you, they're done. You're useless to them. You have no more use to them. They have used you. And guys, don't take that bait. Worldly pleasure only lasts for so long. It disappears. It's gone. You can't get it back. Temporary pleasure will result in emptiness. Temporary pleasure will result in emptiness. So how would staying the son of Pharaoh's daughter have been enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin? That's what this verse says. How would Moses have been enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin? And again, it comes down to obedience. God was telling him, go with the people of Israel, lead them. Do you follow the leading of God? Or instead, do you chase after the fleeting pleasures of sin? Tennis star Boris Becker, probably none of you know who he was. He was in the early 90s. He gave a testimony, and at this time, he was at the top of the tennis world. He'd won Wimbledon twice, and he actually won it once as the youngest player that had ever won Wimbledon. And he said this, I had all the material possessions. I was rich. I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. And guys, that is not a testimony that you hear that testimony all the time. Robin Williams, who was supposedly, we all know the name. He was famous. He had position. People loved him. They thought he was funny. They thought he was the nicest guy in the world. But he hated his life. It was empty, and he sought escape. The world offers emptiness. There's another author. His name is Jack Higgins. He was very successful, very rich. And he was asked this in an interview. What would you have liked to have known as a boy? And his answer was this. That when you get to the top, there's nothing there. There's nothing. It's empty. It's useless. And guys, we all feel the temptation to follow the world, to follow their temptations, because we believe the empty promises. That, hey, this is going to be worth it. This is better than what God offers you. That's the lie that the world tries to sell us. Each decision we make for comfort in the moment will bring emptiness. Each time you're in a group of friends and somebody makes an off-color remark, a comment that is obviously sin, and you stand by and you do nothing, you've just gone down the path of ease that will lead to emptiness. Down the road, your testimony will be empty. Someone may say of you, I don't respect that guy because he never respected authority. He never stood up for what was right. He didn't have a backbone. He didn't stand up for righteous living. He went the easy way. He didn't stand up for what was right. And he may say, I don't want to get made fun of. But later, his testimony is empty. The world's pleasure is for a season. But guys, the afflictions of God's people are also for a season. So the choice you have to make is this. Can you have a limited amount of pleasure and an eternity of pain if you follow after the world? Or can you have a limited amount of pain and eternity of pleasure when you follow after God? That's the reward, that's the promise that God gives to us. Psalm 16:11 says this, Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are you looking for direction in your life? What is the next step? God promises to show you the path of life. What is God's will for your life? The direction is in relationship with him. Run after God. Seek God, get into his word, and he will direct you. In his presence, there's joy forevermore. So again, why should I choose this direction in life? Why should I choose afflictions over pleasures? I mean, you're not making this sound real good, Pastor Brandon. Why should I choose afflictions over pleasures? The reward. You must focus on the eternal reward that God has before you. Moses did in this next verse. Let's read verse 26. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. So those are some kind of big words. He valued the disgrace that came with Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What that simply means is he was looking forward to that reward. So the third decision that a mature follower of Christ has to make is they choose the path of self-sacrifice over earthly treasure. They choose the path of self-sacrifice over earthly treasure. The disgrace that comes with Christ, guys, it is spiritually valuable. That's what Moses is saying. Hey, these hard things that are going to come with me being with Christ, they're going to be spiritually beneficial to me. Why? Why are those things beneficial? Because they continually sets before our mind what Christ has done for us. We are being associated with Jesus Christ. Guys, the world hates Christians. We all know this. The world makes fun of Christians. But Moses valued the worst that God had to offer as better than the best that the world had to offer. The best that the world can offer you does not even stack up close to even the hard things that you get through Jesus Christ, the promises that are given to you through Jesus. This life, what we see on this earth, this is the hardest part of God's promise to us. We have to go through all of these things because of our sin. But after this earth, guys, God promises to wipe away tears. There will be no more sickness. There'll be no more illnesses. There'll be no more divorces. There'll be no more split families. Our reward is great in heaven. It's better than anything this world can offer. According to the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. You probably don't hear that much in the United States. But according to their findings, an average of 180 Christians are killed each month. Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their government if they follow Christ. One of the worst countries for Christian persecution is North Korea. Some of the things that they have to face, if they carry a Bible or if they have contact with a missionary, they can be executed. They can be killed. They can be tortured. They can be executed. They can be sent to prison camps. All of these bad things can happen to them if they claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But what should a Christian's mindset be? Acts 5, 40 and 42 talks about the apostles. And they were before a trial. And they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And when they left, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing. They were beaten, but they were still rejoicing. When was the last time that you actually suffered disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ? We as Americans, we have no clue what it means to suffer for the name of Jesus. For us, it's going to look like the form of discomfort, being made fun of. One of your next steps of faith might be, hey, I may have to be uncomfortable for the name of Jesus Christ. And who knows, the way this country is going, we may have to face this type of persecution. But guys, they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And their reaction to that is they continue to teach and preach the name of Jesus Christ. So the next thing is the treasure that comes with the world is spiritually dangerous. And the reason that it's dangerous is because it distracts us from what really matters. The temptation this world offers, it takes our eyes off of Jesus Christ, takes our eyes off of the rewards, and we follow after these things that don't matter. Moses realized that nothing that Egypt had was worth it. It was not worth giving up those rewards. So when you are trying to decide which direction you're going to take in your path of life, take the path that Moses took. He was faced with another decision, spiritual honor or earthly riches. And he made the right choice because he was aiming at the right target. Matt Emmons, he had the gold medal in sight. He was one shot away from claiming victory in the 2004 Olympic 50-meter three-position rifle event. Don't even ask me what that is. I guess they shoot rifles in three different positions. He didn't even need a bullseye to win. Okay, so all he had to do, he just had to get a shot onto the target. So what he did was he gets in lane two, he lines up, he gets his shot, and he hits the target. This shot would normally have given him 8.1 points in the competition, and he would be the gold medalist in the Olympics, something that he'd been training for his entire life. Problem was, He aimed for the target in lane 3. He was in lane 2. He shot the wrong target. He was aiming at the wrong thing. He got 0 points. Instead of gold medal, he was now in 8th place in the Olympics. Didn't even place. A mistake that people don't make in those types of competitions, he was aiming at the wrong target. Many of God's children, I feel, when we get to heaven, we will have to face God and say, I was aiming for the wrong thing. I was going the wrong direction. They may have been aiming for a comfortable life, and you may hit it with a bullseye. If that's your goal, and you're going for a comfortable life, you hit it with a bullseye, but there'll be no medal. There'll be no reward. Jesus Christ will have the authority to judge us, and he'll say, you are not pursuing me. You do not get the rewards that I have promised. Yes, you'll enter heaven because of your faith in Christ, but Jesus will have the right to judge you. So from the world's perspective, Moses' choice didn't even make sense. Why did Moses choose these things? We've talked about it because his eyes were always focused on the reward. And the Greek that's actually used in Hebrews 11 says that this is something that Moses did habitually. He was always looking and concentrating and focusing on the reward that was promised to him through Jesus Christ. Is that something that you habitually do? That you meditate on all the blessings and all the rewards that you have because of what Jesus Christ has done? But what considerations today, tonight, are pulling your focus off of the rewards, off of heaven, and onto this earth? I'm going to be very, very straightforward. Words that you probably don't hear in youth group much. Is it sex? Is it immorality? Do you place that on such a high pedestal that you actually say in your mind, sex is better than God? I will replace my worship of God with this temporary thing. Whether that's in your mind, whether that's actually in your body, do you replace the rewards that you are promised in heaven with something so temporary? You may say it's worth it. You can tell me it's worth it, which after the countless testimonies I've heard from guys, from my wife, from girls, that after they give into this temptation, their heart is beating at 100 miles a minute, and their conviction and their guilt is just overruling them. Then you tell me it's worth it. Guys, the reward is guilt. Is it money? That you want things. You will sacrifice whatever it takes to get things. Is it your own reputation? I know I need to obey God and his word. But if I do, this person that I think is so cool is going to think I'm a weirdo. If I stand up for what is right. Is it your own comfort? You've made a nice little idol of your comfort, and if anybody touches that, they're in trouble. That if anything goes against what you want to happen in your life falls apart. Have you made any of these things your reward? Because they're their own reward. And yeah, they may last a few minutes, maybe. But then, they're gone. And then all you're left with is you're left with searching, you're left with questions, you're left with covetousness, and you're left with guilt. Guys, guilt is the reward that the world offers. It's empty, it does not satisfy. So how can you and I make the same choice that Moses made? He kept looking forward, and 1 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that the things that are seen, they're temporary. Everything you see here, it's going to be gone, but the invisible things, that's what's real. And that is so hard for us to understand and comprehend because this is what we see. This is where we live. But guys, do you trust God's word that what he says is true and look forward to that reward? So again, why should you choose earthly disgrace rather than earthly riches? Because what is offered to you through Jesus Christ is better than what this world offers you. You must focus on that reward. Verse 27 says this, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Here's another tough decision that Moses had to make. And we as mature followers of Christ must choose the path of fearing the invisible King of Kings rather than the visible kings of the earth. Moses did not fear the power of man. It didn't matter to him. Again, this is right where we live. We are very aware of what other people think of us. And we want them to think highly of us. But guys, are you controlled by your fear of man? Proverbs 29:25 says this, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe." Guys, you will follow the opinions of man if you're afraid of them, and wherever their opinions go, you will go. You are enslaved to them, and you are enslaved to other people. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Again, if you sing a special in church, and you do it for yourself and for what other people think of you, you're not the servant of Christ. If you go on a missions trip and you do it for what other people think of you, you're not the servant of Christ. If you preach and you do it for what other people think of you, you're not the servant of Christ. Again, he's not sugarcoating things. So seeking to know God better, there's a monk, his name was John. He went up into the mountains to live by himself because he didn't agree with some of the things that the church was doing. It was an Orthodox church in Europe. And while he was there, he got really sick, so he had to come back. And when he came back, he'd been studying God's word, and he tried to make some changes in the church. And those who were in charge didn't like it. They were upset, and they exiled him. So he went away for a while. They called him back, thinking that he'd come around, he'd changed, but he still continued to teach the Bible, continued to teach Christ. And so they threatened him with either exiling him again or killing him. And this was his response. "What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life, and that I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all its fullness are the Lord's. I don't fear poverty. I don't long for riches, and I'm not afraid of death." Guys, you must make the same choice that Moses and this man made. Moses feared the power of God. He did not fear man. He feared God. He was not trembling in fear, but he had a reverence for who God was. The invisible things that he could not see but were promised to God were more real to him than what he could see. So we're almost done. But he was still looking forward to that promise of the Messiah, the reward coming in the Messiah. Guys, the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're looking for wisdom in what is your next step in life, what do I pursue, what do I go after, you have to have wisdom that comes from the Lord. In order to make right decisions about the direction of your life, you must focus on that eternal reward. You have to. You cannot make decisions about the path of your life by throwing a stick in the air, by flipping a coin, by Googling it, right? It doesn't have all the answers. You have to go to God's word. Are you at a crossroads in your life? The only two choices you have is you have to pursue the world or you have to pursue God. What's it going to be? Mature followers of Christ, they choose compassion. They choose people over position. They choose righteousness. They choose to stand up for what is right, even in the face of everything that's going wrong. They choose self-sacrifice instead of comfort, instead of riches. And they choose the fear of the Lord rather than the fear of man. They choose what God says goes, and they don't fear the consequences. And why would they do this? Because the reward is much greater. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he did on the cross. We thank you that through him we are promised great and precious promises. Pray that you'd help us to